Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go.
Baby, just win, baby. Feel the storm of the cold autumn wind, baby. It's the Oakland Raiders, get your mouthpiece. You in the black hole with the black beast. This ain't black gold, this is black silver. Commitment to excellence, we deliver. And we'll play past regulation. It's the invasion of the Raider Nation.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation.
Raider Nation is united. When they see them pirates, fans get excited. The opposition get quiet. When I hit the field with my eye patch and my shield, the silver and black will attack, will attack.
Are you ready for some football?
The silver and black will attack, will attack.
Are you ready for some football? Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go.
Just win, baby. Raider Nation, Monday night. ABC. And this could mean the complete season at 1-3. Going into game 4. I don't know. The Raiders are very, Garoppolo injured again, but I knew that was coming. Typical Raiders. Knew that it would be. The Mount Biles on Monday does it again. As he made a double pike move on Barr. And now, it will be 9-5-2. Chargers quarterback Hebert injured a broken finger as they beat the Raiders last week. Via Boston of the Indiana Fever, a rookie of the year. And the Fever has a rebounding. Either Super Bowl champion Dream Manager is gone. The brothers in the NFL were 7-7 again. For the third week in a row. New York fans are worried, New York football fans. And the New York Jets are 1-3. And the New York football Giants are 1-3. Twinkle Toes, a.k.a. Danny Dive Jones. The terrible 10 sacks. One big six. And Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks beat the New York Giants to play that football. The Giants do not have a line. No line whatsoever. On Tuesday, John Morant asked him if he would travel with the team. On the Memphis Grizzlies. While the beard, James Harden, not playing preseason game with Sixers. LeBron James stated this will be our last year in the NBA. And we'll dedicate this season to Bronny James, his eldest son. Where a medical issue at USC. Simmons may be ready to play for Brooklyn Nets. And Simmons plays for Brooklyn Nets, the Nets will be 3 times better. The Giannis Leonard Show will begin this season. As the Milwaukee Bucks become the preeminent favorite to win the NBA title, Chris Paul is now a Golden State Warrior. He's 15 before retirement and a championship ring. The Spurs are a new frontier with Fred Phenom and center. And we had to buy a surname for Wanyami. Last week, the playoffs begin as a wild card week. And I'm glad Major League Baseball got it right this time. The best 2 out of 3 for wild card. Nobody won a game after the first game. It went straight sweeps. Rangers beat the Rays. Minnesota beat the Blue Jays. Arizona beat Milwaukee, and Philadelphia beat Miami 2-8. Very quick wild cards. And now the real deal begins with the divisional playoffs starting today. This morning, the Baltimore Orioles and the Texas Rangers. Rangers take an early 3-0 lead with the game in progress. Among Bowers, the Americans win their 7th straight world title. Lexi Thompson becomes the 7th player to play on a men's tour. Lexi Thompson becomes the 7th female to play on a men's tour. James Harden returns to the Sixers mini camp in Colorado. I guess we have guys that was camp in Colorado. My year of Philadelphia Sixers. Rangers beat the Ball G move to Baltimore at the end of the day. Thursday, the great legend of football, your linebacker, Dick Buckus, better than anyone you know, the voice of the Chicago Bears. The Mets are beginning to clean house as GM Epler resigns, and the Mets will start anew in 2024. The Mets had to make a complete makeover in the upper management. It's been a disaster for the New York area this year, baseball and now football. I don't know what's going on in New York, but they gotta straighten it out. There'll be a new WNBA team in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland. They will practice in Oakland and play their games in San Francisco. Morgan State Bears cancel homecoming game after the campus shooting. Earlier that week, the Morgan State Bears will reschedule the game on their bye week. Friday, Matt Mazzabi gets the ball at Matt Mazzabi. This morning, won the Final One championship for the third year in a row. As he is now in their fourth place in the championships. The Mercedes Benz, Russell Hamilton, come and take it in third again. And they will have to work on their skills the 24-25 season, or Red Bull will run away with this thing for a fourth year in a row. Also, the Ferrari team was very good this year and might take the Red Bull team next year. We will see. On Friday night, Simone Biles win her sixth world championship in 9 years. Sixth world championships in 9 years, and it's wonderful. African-American woman does it again. So congratulations to Simone Biles and her great acrobatic skills. We're going to take a break. When we do, I wasn't a maturity. This is what the NFL and the conservative ownership think about black owners in the National Football League.
Well, ain't this timely? Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, one of the owners named in Jim Trotter's discrimination lawsuit against the NFL, now says that, you know what, there should be more minorities who are owners in the NFL. Now remember, this is what Jim Trotter quoted Jerry Jones as saying in his lawsuit, quote, if blacks feel some kind of way, they should buy their own team and hire who they want to hire. Now Jones is singing a different tune. He made some comments to reporters about what he would do and how he is going to work to get more minority owners. Keep in mind, the Washington Post did a big old story on him a few months ago. And, you know, Jerry Jones is literally he is arguably the most influential NFL owner. And he also, huge Republican, conservative, one of those folks who was full of crap when it came to Colin Kaepernick, so-called standing with his players. We all know now that that was nothing but a PR move. And so now Jones, and he's still denying that he was somehow involved, that he made this comment just the other day. But that's what you're seeing. Now, here's the thing that's also interesting. Jerry Jones, when he was asked about this, he talked about how, oh, my goodness, it was just so difficult for him. To buy the team, and you know he really couldn't afford it. And then actually, what he said is he would carry Magic Johnson piggyback, walk across Texas to get more black NFL owners. Let me see if I can pull this story up about in the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Let me see right here. Here is the. Give me 1 second. I just want to show y'all. Here we go. Let me find this comment. So go to my iPad. In this piece, he's talking about the fact that the NFL has no black majority owners among its 32 teams, only 3 black head coaches, 60% of the league black. Spent a lot of time talking to them, showing them and talking to them about how they could get in the NFL, Jerry Jones told Clarence Jones of the Star Telegram, multiple ways to address inequity, multiple ways to go do it. And certainly I would think about one way to try to work to get ownership improved in the minority area. And I'm all for it, and I do, and I do it. I work at it. First of all, this quote don't make no sense whatsoever. Don't make any sense whatsoever, okay? Makes no sense. Now, again, this is the article. Go back to it. Jones understands the financial hurdles that have impacted blacks from gaining ownership, most notably the rising cost of NFL franchises and league rule that a majority must put down 30% of the cost. Nobody got in on a wing and a prayer any more than I did, and I really couldn't afford it. But I got into it, and as we look and see, we do see the qualified potential buyers out here that can get involved, and that's one way. You know the financial hurdles for everything that's gone up, but percentage-wise, there are qualified people out here. If they aren't here this minute, they're on their way because that's what's happening in this country. And many of the people that recently have gotten involved in the NFL might not have been able to do it 20 years ago, so continuing to share thoughts and ideas with other people about being involved and from the ownership is something that I can speak to. He brings up Magic Johnson. Of course, he was a part of the Washington Commanders ownership. He goes, quote, Magic is a great ambassador, and I carry him piggyback to get him in the NFL. Jones says it's very important to have continued dialogue and discussions about diversifying the NFL's ownership rules, ranks, and believes his comments to Trotter were misrepresented. It's very important. We want that. We work at it. Really, that was the intent. My intent when we were talking, and I regret that with Jim, I do. I really do because he's a friend. I love the National Football League. I love football. And if we can improve it by having people that aren't in ownership today in ownership, I'll walk across Texas to do it. Gentlemen, anybody reading those comments, listening to those comments, would likely say, that's some bullshit. I'm working at it. I'm working at it. No, I really do. It's important. Boy, bye.
The man sounds unhinged.
Boy,
he
bye.
Totally unhinged.
No, he sounds defensive.
But also unhinged because the stuff that what he's saying does not make any sense. Yes, he sounds extremely defensive, but, I mean, also disconnected. And the visual of him carrying Magic piggyback anywhere, you know, just has to make you totally crack up. The fact is that this man was a racist, is a racist, is going to be a racist. He's saying the right things because he's in a lawsuit, and he has to say the right things. We know what the structure of the NFL is. We know how challenging it's been, first of all, just to get head coaches, not to mention ownership. And so give me a break. If they want to do something from an economic perspective to make sure that there is African-American ownership, There are a number of things they could do. Qualified African Americans could get loans from the NFL at a subsidized interest rate to buy in. Of course, there'd be a vetting process. That's one thing they can do. We've seen things like that done in the past. Or they could relax their rules so that there could be a larger consortium of African Americans, because now these teams are going for $5, $6 billion. You know, when he says it's going to happen soon, he's waiting for the black billionaire, and the black billionaire may not want to be the one to spend his money on an NFL franchise. I mean, some of y'all go crazy over the NFL. I don't give a whatever. But what I do care about is the equity piece of this, and the fact that this aspect of food, I mean, he just seems unhinged.
Well,
just
seems I want us on Congo to understand a few things. And what I want us to understand here is that and people don't, I think, fully get it. Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL. Roger Goodell is an employee. He can make $50 million. He is an employee. The people that run the NFL are the 32 owners.
Yep.
And what Jerry is trying to do here, and this is key, Jim's lawsuit talks about not just ownership. Jim's lawsuit talks about lack of black executives in the NFL, lack of black executives at the NFL network. And so what? And this is why I want people to understand, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Jerry wants us to now reverse field and go, oh, here's what Jerry is going to do for owners. The quote that Jim quoted him was, if y'all want to see some changes, go get your own owners, and then they can go hire who they want to hire.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry knows there are not going to be any black NFL owners. Okay. He knows this. Y'all, the Commanders, the Broncos, NFL franchises are now going for $5 and $6 billion. Let's just say $5 billion. Okay? You gotta put up 30%. That means you, black man, black woman, you by yourself, you gotta put up or show $1.5 billion.
Yep.
He knows the game. Nah, Jerry. You don't want to deal with what Jim talked about is y'all are unwilling to hire black people as team presidents, as general managers, as heads of player personnel, as head coaches, and in the front office of the NFL.
And that's primarily led by Jones. I mean, this man is so slick. I mean, when you're talking about Kaepernick and the whole thing with the knee, you know, he was slick to make sure that he took a knee with the team before the anthem was played, but then at the same time said, no one will put a knee down and still stay on my team. He's very good at performative statements and comments. He's one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful owner in the NFL. He clearly had the ability and the wherewithal to put an infrastructure in place to start to lead towards any type of black ownership. The only non-white ownership is with the Panthers, with the couple, when we see that. And so with Jerry Jones, and also that lawsuit also has stories of so many other racist statements that he said, and the Buffalo Bills owner, you know, allegedly saying, you know, go back to Africa if you don't want to play. And so this stuff is about to really hit the fan, and I think Jerry Jones knows that some of these things that have been said about him and alleged in this lawsuit, I think some of them are going to come out and be proven to be true. And so he's trying to get ahead of it by saying that he's always been about this. But like you said when you started the show tonight, never had a black coach. And never had, you know, the leadership at different levels. He has never been about it, but he understands in our society now, especially after they found him in that rally, you know, back in the days in the civil rights movement, he was on the wrong side of that rally. He's been very good at putting out little snippets that he knows the media is going to run with, because most of these networks are not doing in-depth conversations and in-depth fact-checking on calling out his entire history. He could have been put a system in place for black ownership, but he knows that this will rule the day for a few days, a few hours. We're not going to let it go, but he knows that the main folks, ESPN and all of these guys, they're going to let it go. But I'm glad this lawsuit is out because a lot of these people are finally being called out for so many of their racist tendencies for decades, probably led by Jones.
Renita, we ain't falling for that banana tailpipe. Bottom line is, Jerry, you ain't escaping this. First of all, Khan's the owner of the Jaguars, not the Panthers. But two, the reason he can't escape is they can't force Jim Trotter to go to arbitration or mediation. They want this to go to court. They can do it with coaches and players. They can't do it with Jim Trotter being a reporter for the NFL Network.
Well, and so I don't support the NFL because there's just too many problematic things about the NFL that I just can't bring myself to support the NFL. But y'all correct me if I'm wrong on this. I seem to remember about a decade ago where the cost of purchasing or buying into an NFL or owning an NFL team was not what it was today. And so there were actually black people who had the money and could qualify to purchase these teams, and they were just not being let in for some reason that, you know, was not being actually told to them as to why they were not being allowed to purchase. Did that happen or no? Because that's what I thought I remember. No,
because even then, could nobody black afford to get an NFL franchise?
Okay. Okay, because his comment really just sounds kind of condescending where he's saying, well, some parts of it he's saying, well, there's black people who are working up to this amount that who might be able to afford it. And then, of course, the carrying Magic Johnson on his back piggyback. I mean, I would like to see if there's going to be a response from Magic Johnson to him saying this because all of it, the entire comment was condescending.
Nope.
And we know what his original comments were. And I think that his original comments are how he really feels. And he's just trying to walk it back.
Nope. You're not going to see a Magic comment, especially now that he is, even as a minority owner, in the NFL club. Trust me, you're not going to hear anything being said.
In the NFL, he played his game. Hit the biggest joke down, and Jerry Jones knows that. Black people want to buy NFL teams. They've been shut out three times, twice, by the Minnesota Vikings, twice, with no real comment by the league. They cover their butt now by putting black quarterbacks on the field. This is their answer to black leadership in the NFL executive offices. Well, you know, you can have a black quarterback lead your team. That's good enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. We want black presidents, black VPs, black owners, black general managers. And the NFL doesn't want to do that. Major League Baseball doesn't want to do that. Major League Baseball and NFL are brothers and sisters. NFL has four black head coaches. Four. Major League Baseball has two black managers. Maddie Johnson owns part of the Lakers, part of the Rams, part of the Dodgers. But once again, Major League Baseball and National Football League go hand in hand. I think I'm going to do an article. There's an article on this. Because Matty Johnson, and I love him dearly, but he's placating the Major League Baseball and the National Football League. They like him because he's a nice guy. That's why he's part owner of the Lakers, part owner of the Dodgers, WNBA, the New York Liberty, the Chargers, the playoffs last week. And they won 3 in a row over the Connecticut Sun. 87-84 with Lady and Stewart. Lady and Stewart and Jones scored 20 points each. And we start the NBA, WNBA championship tomorrow afternoon. We have basketball, baseball, football, and hockey will be starting on Tuesday. The NFL after week 4, and only 2 undefeated teams left. The Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts, and the San Francisco 49ers with rookie, Brock Purdy. Eagles beat Washington in a tight game. The Niners defeat the Cards, and it wasn't even close. This week, big game comes on Monday, Sunday night. The Dallas Cowboys come West Coast to visit the San Francisco 49ers. And we're going to see how good the Dallas Cowboys defense really is. Because Niners are going to test them. And I believe the Niners are going to run the Cowboys out on the field. That's just me. On Thursday night, Justin Fields lights up the Washington Football Club with the Chicago Bears. Gave a tribute to Dave Buckus with a 20-foot victory in Chicago over the Washington Football Club. Mainly baseball, the New York Mets did what I thought they would do. Release Buck Showalter after a really bad second. And this is Buck Showalter's M.O. After the first 2 years, the players go into him. And it's what happened in New York with the Mets. They did very well the first year. They went to the first year. And they turned the year off. And Buckshowalter will not get a second job because he's a little bit older now. I don't think Buckshowalter will get there again. Meanwhile, Bochy goes into the playoffs again. After 2 years of retirement, he gets the team to the playoffs. There's a difference. They play our games. Philadelphia, Atlanta, and the National League versus, they got lucky or whatever. But it's East against East and West against West. Dodgers against Arizona later on tonight. Philadelphia's at Atlanta. Or Atlanta's at Philadelphia. No, I said right, but Philadelphia's at Atlanta. And the early game, this is at Baltimore. In about another hour, Minnesota is at Houston. Now, I know baseball is open for a Texas American League playoff final. That would be disastrous for the Major League Baseball. If Houston and Texas went out. NCAA my dogs.
Today, we got
How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, Gary, how are you doing today?
All righty.
Want to talk to you about a question I know you're going to have strong feelings on, and we may disagree, but that'll make for good radio. The continuing saga of Colin Kaepernick and him apparently turning down an offer from The Rock to join an XFL team. And my question to you is, has Colin burned out whatever goodwill and sympathy he may have had by turning down these offers? And I understand he doesn't want to accept crumbs from a table, and he feels that he's fully skill set to play in the NFL, doesn't want to go to Canada, doesn't want to go to the XFL. But even people, even Dwayne The Rock, who is of mixed race himself, is offering Colin an opportunity, and Colin's turning it down. And even people who I think would otherwise be sympathetic to Colin are saying, give it up, move on. What are your thoughts?
Let me ask you a question. When a team loses a quarterback, what do they do? When an NFL team loses a quarterback, what do they do?
Well, they go look for another quarterback.
Okay. What did New York Jets do?
Well, they ignored Colin. He's been shunned. He's been blackballed, and that's all true. With collusion, that's all true. But when he's been given another opportunity,
every day he practices every day. Nobody writes about that.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick practices 5 hours a day. The New York Jets lose Aaron Rodgers. The New York Jets need a veteran quarterback.
Right.
What do the New York Jets do? I'll tell you.
Well, they stayed with Zach Wilson, right?
And what is the regular time, Zach Wilson?
Well, you'll know better than me, but I'm going to suggest it's pretty poor.
And this is, okay, the NFL is on a mission. That mission is to exclude Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
You don't care how many days he's practiced. They don't care what condition he's in. They don't care.
Right.
They do not want Colin Kaepernick. This is the kicker right here.
Huh?
When Colin Kaepernick sued the NFL,
that's it
that
right
was
there.
The end of his career.
Correct. Correcto mundo. But again, you know, he's burned so many bridges. I mean, he made himself a lightning rod for good reason. Lightning struck and kind of fried him to a crisp, unfortunately. He sued the NFL. As if the previous lightning rod conduct wasn't bad enough, he sued them, apparently got a favorable settlement. You know, it's like he kicked them in the shins, and now he wants to come back and be kumbaya, and they're saying, no way, Jose.
But see, the NFL knew this was coming. The NFL, when they did this 6 years ago now.
Right.
They knew this was coming. And the NFL, once again, did their usual okie dokie. Hey, let's be honest. The NFL did not want any real diversity.
Right.
They don't. Right.
Right.
When
but look, Jerry Jones
talking about,
right,
if you want black ownership, go get your own team. That's what Jerry Jones said.
But let's move past the NFL. Let's look at the XFL, another team where he has an opportunity to play. And just thinking out loud here, say, wait. Hold on.
I got to stop you because the reason why I got to stop you is the NFL is a established league.
Right.
XFL is not.
Right.
XFL can fold up tomorrow. That's
right.
Why I got to stop you.
Well, yeah, no, I get that, but it's an opportunity. But it's an opportunity to play. I'm just analogizing. Here's a guy. He sets his sight. A musician. He wants to play in Stevie Wonder's band, and he practices 5 hours a day. He's very skilled. You know, maybe he's been with some other bands. He's been in, you know, a backup band for, you know, name it Prince or somebody, and for some reason, you know, he got crossways with Prince, got bounced off that band, and wants to play for Stevie Wonder. And for some reason, Stevie doesn't hire him, but other opportunities present themselves, and this guy says, no, I'm not going to play for anybody except Stevie Wonder.
Let me ask you that question then.
Right.
If you're on the A team, hey, you've been on the AD for 5 years.
Right.
All of a sudden, now you want you to go on the D team.
Right.
You don't want to go on the D team. I would not want to go on the D team.
No, but in life, many of us have to take, you know, just by circumstances, we have to take a step back. We don't want to. It sticks in our craw. It's not our choice, and sometimes we don't. We go, you know, heck with it. I'm not going to play at all. But, you know, there's another point of view. I was thinking about this morning. Look at your dad, a Montford Marine. They had to go build Camp Montford out of a swamp. I mean, the worst possible snake-infested, muddy, hot, bug-infested piece of ground in the United States. And they told black Marines, okay, you want to be a Marine? Go build your own damn camp. And they did.
Right,
and they swallowed their pride.
But they swallowed their pride
in order to step up to prove that they were the best.
But what? Okay, again, why are you doing that? Why, the American...
No, I get it. It's the nasty American way. But when you're given an opportunity...
I'm going to tell you exactly what this is about.
Uh-huh.
What Colin Kaepernick did was smack him in the face.
Right.
He didn't like it.
Right.
So he smacked back.
Right.
Okay, Negro, you want to do this? You ain't playing.
Right.
And see, this is the part where I get America.
Yep.
They continue to do this time and time again.
They did it again this week. Yeah, but
in
Gary,
Congress,
we know all that.
They did it in Congress.
But here's my point.
It's trying to make peace.
He's being given an opportunity. That's a given. That's a given. That's our starting point. And maybe that's our end point, because we know that's a given. But my question is, when he's given another opportunity, yes, in a league that could fold tomorrow, but is in business today, the XFL, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson gives him an opportunity.
You're a little boy.
Right.
What's your mom tell you? What's your mom and dad tell you?
Well, about what? They told me to clean my plate. What else you want to say?
They told you to be the best. They told me to be the best wherever you do, to be the best wherever you're at.
Right.
As they told me. Gary,
right.
Be the best. If you want to be a street cleaner, be the best damn street cleaner to play, okay?
Right.
As we go again.
No, but here's an example. Like, you know, we'll take made your case or my case for that matter. You know, when we were children, we might have aspired to be a congressman or president or something. And circumstances worked out that maybe we're the, you know, we're a member of a committee in El Cerrito on some topic. And that's as far as we got. And that's okay. And you'd be the best committee member in El Cerrito, California. You're not in Congress, and that's what I'm suggesting for Colin. What's the hand that is dealt him right now? After he and the NFL have been in a slap fest, is to go play for the XFL, and he's turning it down. He's got the chance to go prove himself. He's got the chance to go prove himself.
Can you name any XFL quarterback?
No. But that's not the point.
Why.
How many of us can name any El Cerrito council people? None.
Right.
But the point is, you get the hand you're dealt, and you make the best of it. He's got an opportunity, you know, to make something of the crummy little XFL, prove himself, shove it down everybody's throat in public.
Wait. Why would you bring Oscar League when nobody knows who you are?
Why did Ricky Henderson continue to play in the lowest levels of minor league ball just to keep playing? After he had been a Yankee.
Ricky had a different story.
Right.
Ricky. You know that, Ricky.
But here's my point. Is that people do play. It would be a heck of a footnote or an end note or maybe a glory note to the Colin the Kaepernick story for him to come back and play for the rinky dink XFL and kick butt and star because he can and to let his light shine rather than hide his light under a basket practicing in his own backyard for 5 hours a day. Come out and show it. Show it.
He played for the NFL, right?
Yeah.
He gets his leg broke. Then what?
Well, then his career's over. But it's over now anyhow. If he were to get a job in the NFL and got his leg broke, so then what? Same deal. Your career's over.
He's got the money.
He's got the money. He can pay for his own damn broken leg if he needs to.
You know where I'm going with this.
Right.
Okay. Look. Colin Kaepernick did the unthinkable to the NFL. That's what he did. That's why I'm mad at him. When Colin Kaepernick started this, 25% of their viewing audience dropped. Each year it dropped precipitously. 1, 2, and 3. The third year, and the NFL said, oh, hell no, we gotta do something about this.
Right.
So what'd they do? What did the NFL do? They start hiring black quarterbacks all over the place. Why do that?
Well, because they were put on notice, and now the whole thing is public. And they have come to see. No, and they have come to see. They have come to see that you can get better black quarterbacks over the available white quarterbacks. And as you say, you play to win the game.
And that's what Colin Kaepernick did, and that's why some of the owners are still mad at him. Because
right.
You have one guy, Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, where they black quarterback with he can't stand.
Right.
So what are you doing? The NFL, okay, there comes a time when you have to say, okay, all right, you're right. How many black assistant general managers in the NFL? I fucking answer. It's none.
Right.
This is what Gold Cowboy was talking about. See? And the NFL with Jerry Jones, he's going on his merry way, right? They don't care.
Right. But again, here's my question to you. This is the fundamental question, and we know all about the history with the NFL and that. I mean, Jim McMahon, didn't he take a step back after playing for the Bears and played in the Arena Football League? I mean, people have taken a step back. Name people who had their day in the NFL, took
what
a step back.
What was the reward of Jim McMahon?
Huh?
What was the reward of Jim McMahon?
I don't know.
What was his reward?
What was his reward? I don't know.
He got a chance to play. He got a team as he retired. You think Gord Kevin will get a team as he retires? Hell do you know?
What do you mean Jim McMahon got a team? He's not an owner, is he?
An XFL team.
Okay, well, maybe Dwayne The Rock Johnson will give Sell, nobody's given anybody anything, Sell a share to Colin.
Be real, man.
I mean, we know Magic Johnson owns shares of teams. He owns the Commanders now, right?
And don't
get
me
there was a day when his
okay?
name... Huh?
Don't get me there, Magic Johnson.
Well, but people get ownership. And it's part of a progressive, slow, frustrating arc of history that does not always bend in an easy favor.
We discussed this a couple weeks ago about this. And the National Football League, Major League Baseball, does not want to share. We discussed this before. We did not want to share.
No, I understand that. That's why I'm trying to step out of that argument and shift the paradigm here to the XFL. Take the opportunity that's being offered, the crummy opportunity that's being offered. Take it, run with it, and shine.
All right. How many owners are black in the XFL?
I'm not talking. I'm shifting my game to the XFL here. I'm talking about the opportunity.
How many owners are black in the XFL?
Well, let's. Well, let's count Dwayne The Rock Johnson as being black, right?
One.
Okay.
One. And it goes right back to money. It goes right back to equity again.
Right.
It goes right back to sharing again. The United States of America did not want to share. Right? That's why we have issues with immigrants.
No, I get that, but Johnson is in the game. Johnson is in the game. However he got in, he's the only guy. Fine, I got it. But he's in the game.
They
don't want to share, but he's in the game. He's got a seat at the table.
I would not argue with you if Gary Gray can go up to the NFL board of directors and say, I want to buy the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
Right? Hey, look at me like I was from the moon.
Right.
Not because I wanted to own the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
It's because I am an African-American. That's what I look at.
But no, I get that. And maybe that's why Maybe that's why Dwayne Johnson had to go to the XFL because, for obvious reasons, which you've all stated, he's been shut out of the NFL. So he said, fine, I'll go
get the
franchise where I can.
Where's the government on this? Hey, you can't do this. Hey, you have to be equal access. See, again, once again, and this is America's. It's been America through and through every issue that we discuss. America does not want to share anything. Right? And we sit here and say, we're the greatest country in the world. Yeah, you might be. But you're because you don't want to give anything up. Right? That's the truth, man. Because this can be done easily. You can have a conglomeration of black owners in the National Football League. You don't want to do that. Because you don't want to share. That's what it comes down to, man.
Well, yeah, on that point, though, I think the NFL's point is what they want, basically, is teams, each team, to be owned by one rich guy each. The reason being, they don't want a squabble among ownership groups within a team. They'd rather have whoever it is, Jed York, Jerry Johnson, one guy who's in charge. For all his benefits or all his faults, rather than a committee of collective owners squabbling among themselves. And we have the record now where Magic Johnson is an owner in an NFL team.
Aren't you know the Minnesota Vikings? The team, the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
All right. The Minnesota Vikings have been trying to get black ownership twice. Not once, twice. Both times it was rejected by the commission of the NFL board of directors. And to my knowledge, I haven't got a good answer for why it was rejected yet.
Well, I believe that because it was a consortium that came in and tried to buy the franchise. And again, as I've said, the NFL does not want to deal with a consortium. They want to deal with one rich guy because everybody else at the table is one rich guy.
And I go back to sharing again. I don't want to share.
Right, but again, fine, they don't want to share, but again, and that's why I say take the NFL argument off the table. Let's go to the XFL. Why won't, and here's my point. Colin, well, here's my question. Is Colin losing sympathy by refusing to take the opportunity, as crummy as it may be, that is being given to him to play in the XFL?
No, I don't think so, because see, if I'm going Kaepernick, I'm not going to the XFL. I'm not going because number one, the injury factor. Number two, nobody knows who the quarterback is about anyway. You know who they are. Number three, it's in the summertime, not no matter.
Right.
All of these factors play into the Colin Kaepernick decision not to go to the NFL. Is it the right decision?
Was one who just came out and said, move on. Give it up. He's losing whatever sympathy card he may have.
Did we tell Jerry Jones to give it up on his goals?
Well, you do every week. You tell Jerry Jones to give it up every week.
But who? All right. Did the NFL tell Jerry Jones to give it up?
No.
Why?
Because he's one rich guy with a seat at the table.
There's your answer. There's your answer right there. Until we have the ability ain't going to change.
No. Well, I guess my point, and that's why, you know, when I started this discussion, I correctly predicted we would likely not agree, and we haven't. But my view is that, you know, Colin Kaepernick here is being offered an opportunity to share a slice of a crummy little pie, but a slice nevertheless.
No. Colin Kaepernick is being offered an interview. You got a big cake. You got a whole big cake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gives you a cake. I mean, all of a sudden they say, I'm taking this cake away. I'm only going to give you one slice of this cake. What are you thinking? And you had the whole cake, in front of you. All of a sudden, it's taken away from you. And you give it one little teeny piece of that cake. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
No, but people, people in their day, I mean, for example, Steve Young coming out was signed, I think, to the WFL, at the Tampa franchise, I believe, which folded.
LA,
he had okay. He had to sit for years behind Joe Montana, swallowing his pride.
That was the NFL. And that is what the all right. Look, don't confuse the issue here.
All right.
That was the artist here.
All right.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but you just gave me a dose of my own medicine there, because I'm always saying that to you.
Okay.
So I'm gonna take that big old dose of Robitussin and go shut up.
Okay.
Alrighty. I'll let you go. Thanks for the conversation.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Of course.
The differences between Young and Kaepernick. Young was moving up. Kaepernick was moving backwards. You can't do that.
Right.
Come on, man. I feel sorry for going, but that's just the way it is.
Right.
All right? Well, we had a good conversation. Glad you come on board.
Okay, well, I got to go take that cough medicine to get that hairball.
that's okay. No problem.
All righty. Talk to you later. Have a good day. Bye.
Take care, man. All right. We got Tony and back in the house.
What's up, G?
What's up, man?
Good morning.
Afternoon, man.
That's because you guys are still 3 hours behind civilization, as Howard Cosell used to say back in the day.
Yeah. You know, I heard a conversation about this for the 13 million time about Kaepernick going to the XFL, and because of the Bay Area, I hear it a lot. I get tired of hearing it.
Well, I think what it is just talk. There's a bunch of things that are factoring in, I guess. The thing is now also, the thing that's going against him now, even more so now, is his age. I mean, you know, he's been like, it's been 5 years now since he's played a game. So it's not like, you know, if this was like, say, a year removed from, you know, we had the protests, it's a bigger story. Now it's just, it's not, you know, it's funny because, you know, and I say this, you know, not to, but the whatever they're going to call the new merged league, they don't really need Colin Kaepernick. You know, they've you know, to a certain extent, they've already proven themselves. The fact that they're able to have the merger speaks for that. Warren Sapp taking pot shots at him. He's been one of the guys that's been taking pot shots at him anyway. So that's really nothing new there.
Well,
that's but,
another Negro going against
look, it's unfortunate. You know, it's a lot what Malcolm said about the house Negro and the field Negro. He's willing to do. What's interesting is that, you know, he's actually going to be joining the Colorado staff, I believe, next year. I'm not sure. I think like a defensive coordinator or something to that effect. So, you know, more power to him. But, you know, I mean, the thing is now it's been a few drinks of water since this guy has played his last game. So even
well,
though
is he,
with
him, is he about 38, 39 years old now, something like that?
Well, let's put it this way. It's been over 5 years since he actually suited up. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he had 2017.
Well, put it this way. He's basically been out of the league for almost 5 years, over five
right.
years. And in his position and in his age, you know, the sad thing is, and I think this is why the NFL is sort of playing games with it, is that, you know, he doesn't have leverage. He's not going to have any leverage at all.
We
all know that there's probably a gentleman's agreement to basically treat him as a non-person, you know, forever and ever. It's funny because, and I didn't think I would, because you know how they've been sort of pushing this whole Kelce, Taylor Swift thing. And what's interesting is that, you know, they're saying that the reason why, they, you know, the excuse that they're using to sort of pump this up is because it's a cultural sort of thing. And I'm like, now if she was going out with Kaepernick, I wonder how this would be playing out.
There would be no Swifties being too swift about it. Pay that.
No. But see again, that's the NFL feeding its own. You know, that's the NFL feeding its own BS in regards to. Yeah. I mean, you know, to me personally, it's a non-issue because I watch the games with the sound down, and you know. Look, I've already gotten used to them pushing one skinny white woman to build up the game during, you know, so basically it's just, okay, now we got a second one now, I guess. I don't think they're on national TV this week, but, you know, it's distracting. What's kind of funny, though, is that you've got some alleged journalists that are like angry and are going to the point of, you know, she's a distraction, and I'm like, hey, how?
Yeah. This is what I need to add to do. The Kelce uniform went from whatever number 20 was ranked to number one. What they're doing is that group, the 28 to 17 year olds, are not following football like the 30 and 40 year olds.
You know, with all due respect, I'm going to yell bullshit on that. I really don't think the NFL is hurting in those demographics. I really don't. I'm not saying it's a, you were saying it, but see, I've heard that same thing too, where they don't have those numbers for the younger kids. And I'm gonna, again, this is just me personally, I'm gonna yell bullshit on that. I really think, I mean, between fantasy football, just regular betting, because you know some of these kids are probably betting as well. Let's be honest.
They
and
are.
Let's face it. The NFL is the number one sport pretty much in North America.
In America,
so,
yeah.
Are you really trying to tell me that high schoolers and maybe like the early don't have any stake in the NFL or don't have any knowledge of the NFL or don't have something? I'm sorry, I'm yelling bullshit on that. Now, and even if you try to say the female demographics, no, I would say bullshit to that too, because when you look at the breast cancer initiative that they do every year with the where basically everybody wears some form of pink, and also in a lot of the studies have also shown in a lot of these fantasy leagues, the majority of these leagues have huge amounts of women in them. Matter of fact, in some leagues, the women make the majority of the put it this way. Take it for what it is. I mean, again, it's nothing new. We basically saw this a few years back with Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo. So it's nothing. So again,
thank you.
As the NFL tries to baffle you with bullshit, if you've been paying attention, if you are a football fan of any ilk, it's what they're trying to make it. What's always so funny to me, is that they always try to make it out that stuff that goes on now, and Fred talks about this in a sense where we've never seen this before, and it's like, really, I mean, it's not now. Now, what's different is you got a reigning Super Bowl champion as opposed to Tony Romo, who was just a perennial playoff disappointment. You're dealing with a team that's basically won two of the last four championships, arguably the most watched. One of the most watched. I don't think they're probably not the most watched. But again, look, the NFL being the whores that they are, this is the greedy bastard factor, even more personified. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I defy any woman in that demographic that says, I'm going to watch the NFL more because of Taylor Swift.
This weekend, Sunday night, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh no.
Are coming to San Francisco.
I hope they're well fed.
I believe that the 49ers are gonna run them off the field.
Don't they always? I mean, was they've eliminated them? Was it the last 3 years? Two of the last 3 years?
It's the last three. And let's get something understood. The league still has not come to terms with what happened between the Los Angeles Scams and the San Francisco 49ers. You know, gambling is gambling, but dirty gambling is dirty gambling. And the smell from this game stinks to high heaven.
It does.
I can smell it from here, and I'm way in Connecticut.
I'm glad you brought it up because the game, the Kansas City Chiefs last week, or the week before, at the end of the game.
You talking about the Jets game?
And Patrick Mahomes walked in for a touchdown, and he sat down at the 1 yard line. And
people were angry. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you lie with dogs, you get damn fleas. Put it this way: there isn't enough off in this country for them to get the threat off the NFL at this point in time right now. You know, with all. But when you perpetuate this thing and you go out of your way to be the greedy bastards that you are, because you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, very quietly last week, Calvin Ridley had like his first breakout game since coming back off of his.
You're right. Yeah.
And ironically, the game was over in London as well.
Yep.
So
early in the morning, nobody gets it.
Well, you know, the degenerate. You know, bettors and fantasy league folks, and plus the 12 or 15 Falcons and Jaguars. Now tomorrow, it's them and the Bills, so they'll probably get maybe some of the what they call themselves the Bills Mafia. They may pick up a sausage McMuffin and watch the game or something to that effect.
In California, it's 6:30 in the morning.
Gary, you and I both know that there's going to be some There's going to be some people watching that game. You know, because look. But see, Gavin, you got to remember, they don't care about us. For every, say, 12 or 15 folks that are actually going to get some sleep tomorrow morning, or maybe, God forbid, go to church, there's going to be another, 100 or so folks that are just that are going to set their timer and make sure that they don't miss the kickoff. But
I did that about 4 years, 3 years ago, 4 years ago when Louis Hamilton was going for number 7.
Yeah.
Here we go on at 5:30 in the morning. Here I got.
When the Mets and the Cubs opened the season over in Japan, I didn't have to go up. I didn't have to go to work that next morning. So I set the alarm. I watched the game. I mean, I ain't going to lie. I was dozing in between. But, no, I said, I watched the game. Matter of fact, I was going to watch those KBO games during the strike. But when I heard that they were coming on like 4 in the morning, and they also said, we'll replay them on tape delay. I said, thank you very indeed. I'll see you on the tape delay.
Gary,
that the game this past week also they also did like a Nickelodeon, it was like a Nickelodeon sort of deal as well, where they catered to the kids. So I'll take a step back on the greedy bastard reference, but look, everything is done for a reason. Whether it's shoving, Taylor Swift down our throats, whether it's, a Toy Story theme-based broadcast, or them, look, they get the best of both worlds Sunday night, because, quite frankly, there'll be some people that may sleep in during the 1 o'clock games this week, and just I'll get up so I can make sure I watch the Cowboys game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna get it. So for those who just are diehards, that's just watching it, that's going to watch the NFL no matter what, they're going to watch, you know, maybe, you know, a handful will watch this game. What is it, like 9:30 Eastern, I guess, right? That's when they start?
Something like that.
9:30 Pacific.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's you know, look, the NFL is the kingpin in professional sports right now. They literally do anything wrong because whatever, even if it's something bad, the NFL finds a way to make some bucks off of it. Because to be honest with you, the whole Swiss thing, I think, will die down at some point. Yeah, it's just, I mean, even now, it's not really, to me, a factor. The only thing was that I guess what she's got, like, an album or a movie coming out as well.
The most annoying thing about this shit is that she's supposed to be an Eagles fan. And I'm like, oh, my God. I really just definitely
Well, then she's going out with the wrong Kelsey then. Am I correct?
Exactly. She's definitely going out with the wrong Kelsey. But it don't matter.
Guys,
last week I was jail surfing football games.
Uh-huh.
On Saturday, all day Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I counted. This is outrageous. There were 32 games on TV. 32 games on regular TV.
Oh, you're talking just college football?
Yeah.
Think of all the networks that have college football. FS1, FS2,
yep.
The Mouse, ABC,
NBC.
Matter of fact, I think the only major network that doesn't have college football, I think right now is CBS, right? CBS. Isn't this the first year of the new SEC contract?
Because I remember them
having like this big moment, you know, when the SEC championship game went off the air last year. They did sort of like a retrospective of their years, because
I was amazed. I was going for Taylor. What is this?
Well, it's even, and see, it was always a lot, but see, I think even more so now, and, you know, I think a lot of it also has to do with the gambling aspect, because with all of those games, you got 32, you said like 32 games basically from like noon to midnight.
32 games last week.
So basically from noon to midnight, 32 games.
No, from 9 a.m.
Well, I'm talking about, see, you're talking to the pregames come on at 9.
No, and the West goes.
We'll see. That's what I'm saying. See, I hate to pull a rank, but noon Eastern to midnight Eastern.
Yep.
I think that's where the 32 came through. We're saying the same thing. It's just that because of the time difference,
we get an extra game because of the white conference. 9:30 at night.
Okay, so that's 12. Okay, so basically we're going to keep it all Eastern. Sorry. from basically noon Saturday to 3 a.m. Sunday morning, you've got 32 games on various national. And these are just the national games, right?
National games.
Yeah, and remember, you've got other. Now, they don't do as many regional games like they did back in the day. But because you've got like the Big Ten Network and the SEC Network and the Big 12 Network and Notre Dame, NBC along with Peacock, they do a handful of games themselves.
That's right.
So NBC, here's the thing. Now, okay, let's just take the raw numbers. 32 games. All of the games are 3 hours at the very least.
Yes.
So you've got to figure how many times are we seeing either FanDuel and or DraftKings in that 3 hour span.
Yep.
And again, I'm not even talking about the beer, the cars, the food. And everything else, just strictly FanDuel and DraftKings, just focus on FanDuel and DraftKings. Think how many times those annoying ass commercials are being shown in that basically 15-hour window.
Especially the chicken.
The only reason why I'm saying focus on that is because, see, that's what, let's face it, the betting was always being done anyway, but now, kerosene on a fire is lukewarm compared to what's going on now, because again, look, let's just take one of those 32 games. How many times are you gonna see DraftKings and or FanDuel or references made to them? See, the only reason why I say that is because I used to work in the sports department for Nielsen Media Research. Nielsen, for folks of a different generation, Nielsen was basically the place that did all the TV ratings. And this was mainly the four networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and what have you. Now, make a long story short, we would have different contracts with different, with different agencies. And I was a sports coder. And what we would do is say we had a contract with DraftKings. In that game, you would track how many times it's physically seen, how many times it's mentioned, and any derivatives of it. Now, think of a regular – we're being modest with the three-hour broadcast, because most of these games, if they go into overtime, that's another half hour or what have you. But think about how many times DraftKings and or FanDuel will be mentioned – in a three-hour span for a college and or pro game.
Yep.
I mean, I watched the Gal game. Okay.
I saw at least eight times.
In the first half hour, probably.
Well, yeah, for them.
Yeah, because see, remember, they have individual contracts with the league, And they also, in certain sports, they have individual contracts with individual teams. Now, with college, it's a little bit of a slippery slope, but see, a lot of it depends on the state. Now, betting is legal in Cali, right?
No, it's not.
Yep.
You have to go to Reno.
No. Okay.
No, you can't do that in California.
Really? I thought Cali was a big part of it. Well, even that being said, because they're national, because see, the misnomer is always if you can't bet in so and so and such and such, then they get you to do it online.
Well, that's why people used to go to Reno and Las Vegas all the time. You can do it in California.
Hey, ask Calvin Ridley. That's how they popped him. But see, even if it's not in, let's put it this way, even if it's not in Cali, I'm sure there's a shitload of folks in, say, Salinas or El Segundo or whatever that probably have a line to Reno or Vegas or. Is there, put it this way, what's the most, other than Nevada, what's the most far west that state that has legalized betting? I want to say Oregon.
Yeah, I think it's Oregon, Nevada.
I think it's Washington State. Could be Washington State as well. Well,
yeah.
I guess the real question for this specific thing is, which is the farthest west state that doesn't have a professional franchise, but has betting for both college and pro, and Oregon and Washington has them with the Seahawks, so that rules them out, but Oregon.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, granted, Oregon has the Trailblazers. Yeah, the Trailblazers. But see, let's be honest. More people know about as popular as the Trailblazers are, would it be safe to say that the Oregon Ducks are probably probably more identifiable in the state of Oregon than the Trailblazers?
Yeah, but you would get a fight with Oregon State. You would get a fight with somebody from Oregon State.
Well, I'm just saying in general.
Just
to buttress the argument, I'm willing to bet that if you're, say, a hardcore bettor in Oregon, you are probably doing more business. You're probably doing more action with the Ducks and the Beavers than you are with the Blazers.
I would say so. Take your point, Tony, and go further with this aspect of it. Now, everybody saw Patrick Mahomes lay down on that Monday night game.
Yeah,
you know, just like when Doug Williams got tackled and got, it looked like he was hurt, and everybody said, Doug, get up. Everybody said, Patrick, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
He sat down for that last knee down at the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
To a better, that's the worst kind of torture because here you are, you're a yard away from making your bet.
Yep.
And somebody just pulled the rug out from under you. But there's no
gamble. You know what? The answer was for Kansas City.
What?
Well, we wanted to run the timeout.
Look, there was, put it this way. Kansas City, now, to be fair, the game with the Jets was close. It was a close game. To Kansas City.
Yeah.
Now, that Rams-Niners game, that game was basically decided in the third quarter. The fact that they lined up for that field goal late was like, wait a minute.
That's right.
I get what you're saying, but see, but also there is a, you know, I forget which one it is, whether it's FanDuel or that, but there is a commercial where they, you know, where they're showing a couple people watching the game, and the game is, you know, the game is a blowout, and the whole shtick in the commercial is just because it's a blowout doesn't mean you can't win. You know, and see therein lies the thing, because in the bettor's eyes, Patrick Mahomes is taking money out of my pocket because he won't score the damn touchdown, even though they both got the game won. But see,
they're looking at the TV saying, "Fuck Taylor Smith. Patrick, get across the fucking goal line."
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Fucking
and gentlemen, I do believe this. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Gary, come right out and say it. Somebody's going to get killed. Somebody's going to get killed. Somebody's going to get killed because there's going to be some inconvenience white fan who's going to have a problem with a black guy playing his game and like, blankety blank did that.
That's right.
And that's what I thought last week when my home did that. Oh boy, he's in trouble now.
What I find kind of interesting is that, you know, there's a bunch of folks who play this whole, oh, Kansas City only wins because they get help with the refs. And I'm like, what have you been watching the last 20 years out of Foxborough?
Thank you.
But it's okay. But again, it's, you know, dare I say it like the kids, when we do, you know, when we do it, somebody's got a problem with it, you know, for lack of a better word. And see, for whatever reason, you know, I mean, you know, Patrick, of course, is finding out just how black he is, even though they're willing to put up with him in a sense because he's light skinned, but at the end of the day, he's still a nigga in their
there
eyes.
You go.
So when this happens, because look, if you ignore the racial part of this, it's you know, you're not paying attention, because again, what is it, 50-60% of the league is black.
This week is going to be very interesting because all the black quarterbacks are playing against the white quarterbacks. I want to see how this goes out this week.
I think that every week there's at least two or three head-to-head matchups, it's always going to be a majority black football, but what's been happening, because there's more players, because there's more brothers out there playing, you're also going to get more head-to-head matchups. Now, last week you only had two, which was probably the smallest. Since the season started, because pretty much every week there's been at least three head-to-head matchups along the way, and also majority, and again, the league, even in its own, you know, greedy bastardness. Yeah, I got to call Mr. Webster now for that. A lot of your prominent nationally televised games have included a black quarterback. For example, this week
there's only one head-to-head. That's it. All the rest of them are.
Take a look at the last three nationally televised games. Last four. You had, you know,
Last Thursday, you had Jordan Love versus the Lions. Last Sunday night, you had Mahomes versus the Jets. Monday night, you had Geno tell the Giants to kiss the fattest part of his ass. And then this past Thursday, you saw Justin Fields finally get a win against the Washington Motor Kings and traveling. So even though I give them credit when they came out with the graphic and we actually use it for our field general stories on and off. When they came out with the graphic about the record 15 starters on opening day.
Right.
And see, even the league has to recognize, you know, we got to recognize that these guys are there, and there's more coming because, you know, Giant fans are basically saying they need to suck for Caleb Williams.
If they lose again this week, all else is gonna break out.
You mean like now? who do they play Sunday anyway?
Miami. They're gonna kill it.
You mean you're saying if? No, put it this way.
The Miami Town Machine.
Yeah, really. Put it this way. If I'll just come right out and say it. If the Giants beat Miami, there's gonna be shenanigans going on. Is it at Miami or is it at the Swamp?
Miami.
Or is it Miami? And see, they're already a little peeved because that loss to Buffalo. They could have taken basically the Giants, you know, by proxy, basically have the toughest schedule. What's even worse with the Giants, three of their four games have been on national TV. So all of us are old enough to remember when the only games we would be able to watch in our area was the damn Jets, Giants, and Patriots. I still have nightmares because, you know, but it was only a regional thing. Now they're inflicting this pain on a national level, making you want to
guess what?
I believe they still have three more national games this year, don't they?
This is the first year the Bay Area will not get Raider games. This is the first year we don't get Raider games.
Is it because the Raiders aren't selling out?
I don't know what it is, but this is the first year they moved to Vegas.
Hold on, Baba Louie. I think it's because the Raiders and the Niners, there's an edict by the NFL where they have to stop playing each other for a while because people got fucked up during their game.
And also, all the road games on Bay Area TV.
We don't get any road games this year.
My only guess is once it was established that the Raiders were going to go to Vegas, I think they just basically redid the whole, for lack of a better word, the squatters' rights for what's considered a home team. And I'm guessing that they're saying, my guess is that they're saying, You may be a Raider fan living in the Bay Area, but your home team is the Niners. Yeah. Because see, I'll use an example that happened here. When the Hartford Whalers became the Hartford Whalers, right.
You mean the Hurricanes?
No. When they were the Hartford Whalers, what happened was in that tri-state area. Well, I'll just use Connecticut as an example. Like you can see, we would always be able to, in Connecticut. We would always get the Islanders, the Rangers,
and the Bruins.
But when those green and blue and white idiots came to town, guess what happened? They blacked out Bruin games. And Ranger. Oh, yes, they surely did. And people were, you got to remember, those, you know, even though the Islanders had only been around for, you know, the fan bases here, you know, you've got Islander fans in Connecticut. You know you got Ranger fans in Connecticut. And you, look, my hometown was the old New Haven Nighthawks were the farm team, was the AHL farm team for the Rangers. I saw guys like Bobby Sheehan, Ed Hospodar, Ed Johnstone, Don Maloney, Dave Maloney's younger brother. I saw him. I saw all those guys play here. So what they did was, they basically said, when the Whalers got into town, they basically said, you are Whaler fans, and you only get Whaler games. And you want to talk about angry folks? One of the main reasons why the Whalers failed to draw those early years, because people were pissed. Because the longtime Bruins fans, and you know what? This is just reason number 867 to hate the Raiders, because when they left, came back and left again, they had to redo basically the grid again.
When they left LA, right? We saw every Raider game in LA.
Because they were still, but you know why, Gary? You know why? They were still in Cali. They're out of Cali now. So in the NFL.
But why, think you're a big cut of
road they figured, you know, look. I hate to say it. I got to go back to the greedy bastard factory. They said, let's get that first year so we can make some money, and then, you know, grab them by the short hairs afterwards. Because let's face it. Now, do they still have that deal with Southwest Airlines with the flying to the game?
No.
From, they got rid of that too?
Yep.
Wow!
I'll go you one better. Think about the fact that the Oakland Tribune, if that's the name of the paper, has little to no sports section now.
Yep.
I mean, what do you put in there for copy? If you're writing and you're an editor, what? You got University of California? Maybe. But
well, then, you know what, Gary? They have to, so they can. Matter of fact, probably the best news that happened to them was them getting a. They're gonna get a WNBA franchise within a year.
Yeah,
or so.
Exactly.
So I'm sure they're saying, thank the Lord, we get to cover from here. We get to cover from here. Seriously. After this year, it's basically the Warriors and no one else.
I was just about to say that.
They're, you know, the Warriors are more San Francisco now than they are Oakland.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, put it this way. They may have to cover cockfighting in Bolivia just to fill up that sports stage at this point in time right now.
And with Stanford stupid and cows sticking up the joint in it right now.
Yeah. I, you know, the more and more I think about it, because how many miles is it from, offhand, is it from Oakland to Vegas?
Oh, God.
Is it more than 200 miles?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I think, you know, Jack, I think you just got you. I think you just answered your own question.
It's an eight-hour drive to go here to Vegas.
Which, and maybe, what, say, a two-hour flight?
Hour and a half, maybe? Hour 30, hour 40, yeah.
Well, I'm really surprised. I mean, that just shows you how arrogant you, because they're in a situation where they can basically throw away money. Because you've got to know that shuttle from Oakland to Vegas.
I know.
That's a gravy train.
When the Raiders moved to LA, one year after they moved, that was a baby right then.
Oh, sure. They probably made their own playload. Wow.
Playload.
I'm not surprised. I know I didn't want to turn this into the math hour, but what's the miles between LA and Oakland?
Three forty.
Okay. So what is it, about a 3 hour drive? A 3 hour drive,
that's
maybe?
That's less than an hour by plane.
Okay,
that's
But think about that. Now I wonder.
590 miles.
So the next question. The next question you ask yourself is, when did the NFL make Southwest the official airline of the NFL?
When the Raiders gave it up,
NFL got them. But Mike is right, though. See, at one point, Southwest, because I remember those annoying-ass commercials, Southwest was the official airline for the NFL for a long time.
That's right. And they didn't get to be the NFL's airline overnight. They had to make a lot of money from people flying from L.A., rather from Oakland,
to
L.A.,
yeah.
Or wherever
and that,
the fuck they were
yeah.
for those
yeah.
later games.
And see, remember, when they were doing all of this, what was the one thing that wasn't happening then that's happening now?
No.
It's got nothing to do with FanDuel or DraftKings.
It's real simple.
It's real simple when you think about it.
It was.
No other team in LA.
That's right.
No competition.
That's
Remember,
right.
When the Raiders made the move, the Rams were already in Anaheim.
That's right. And remember,
you had that period between times when there was when they got out of Anaheim. Exactly. See, now you've got a half a team there now. I don't count neither one of both of them, as far as I'm concerned. So I just say there's two teams, but it's really half a team. And see, you know what? I think that's the main reason why they got rid. I think that's why they basically told the Bay Area, y'all are Niner fans, whether you like it or not. And the angry black hole folks who still think that they're gonna come back a third time, they're like, nah, y'all better stop. Whose way?
Yeah.
Either take that plane ride to Vegas,
or you better start buying yourself some Niner gear and see.
What I saw last Monday night really shocked me. I saw more terrible towels in the Death Star.
They still look. They still haven't established a home field advantage yet. Remember, it's only what is this? Their third year now. It's the third year now, right? Even though the Raiders have somewhat of a national following, they're still carpetbaggers for a lesser extent in Vegas. I mean,
that's true.
Put it this way. The Knights probably have more of a fan base than the Raiders. Now, to be fair, the Knights originated there, so that's the thing. You know, and you got to remember, sports fans, whether they be whatever, they have their allegiances, because let's face it, Vegas for the longest time, it was UNLV,
and
the casino, and that was it. Now, think about it. Their very first team has already won a Stanley Cup. They've already
WNBA
team is on the way to possibly winning their second one. They've also hosted various all-star games. The NBA has also, the NBA, that summer league there, they still have the summer league there. And I remember the Lakers used to train there as well. So let's face it, the Raiders, the Raiders are basically scallywags in their mind's eyes. It's like, yeah, we know about them and we'll probably go to the games, but I'm not, you notice they didn't.
Also, think about this. In 2024, 2025, guess who's going to come there next? Oakland A's will be there next.
And see, they're going to go through that too. But considering the fact that they were playing games in front of 300 people, it's gonna be a growth. It's gonna be a growth for them, because just the novelty. See what's gonna hurt the Raiders is probably gonna help the A's. I'm gonna do a trading places bet with you, Gareth. I'm willing to bet that the A's will grab hold of the Vegas sports fan a lot quicker and in less time than the Raiders. You got to remember, if you've been living in Vegas for all your life, for the most part, there's only a handful of teams that you will embrace. Now, yes, you know of the Raiders if you're a bettor and all that stuff, but you can't consider yourself a hardcore Raider fan per se. I'm sure there are some transplanted Oakland, L.A., Irwindale, Babu Tatswana fans there in Vegas. But they don't. Put it this way. Think about this, Gary. There's no black hole in Vegas.
Yeah.
No black hole. The black hole is still in Oakland. Which can lead to another bunch of jokes, but I'm gonna keep it. But think about it. When you physically look at their stadium now, what did, other than the physical team, what part of Oakland did they bring with them?
absolutely nothing.
And Tony, I went to an A's game last week of the season.
Did they ask you if you could pitch?
and trust me, I could not believe the condition on the inside.
That's why they're trying, you know what? In many ways, it's probably got nothing to do with the physical field. It's got everything to do
it's got
everything to do with the fact that that place is, I mean, the Roman Coliseum is probably in better shape than the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. And again, there's enough blame to go on both sides, but the thing is, you would have thought that once, in a sense, the Warriors moved and the Raiders finally, whatever, you would have thought that the A's should have just come to them and said, look,
yes,
we're your last team.
Yep.
Work with us. But they were
the first thing I would have done was blow up Bob Davis. Bye-bye. Goodbye, Bob Davis.
My mouth didn't be able to,
I cried because it ruined the whole scenery. I was like, the sad thing,
you know, that was his way of getting back at the A's for having the, you know, in those salad years in the 70s when the A's were prominent and they basically forced the Raiders to play more road, you know, they had to play more road games than they did home games. Yeah, that was his way of sticking it to them in the end. He said, "I'll come back, but I'm going to be the lead tenant." Not these guys. And to be fair, they were there first.
Yep.
They were there first. So I get it.
The Raiders game in 1960 and the A's game in 1968.
Yeah. And so I get it. You would have thought along the way there that there would have been some sort of compromise. But see, that's that other side of Al Davis that folks don't want to talk about. He's ruthless on all ends. And, you know, he could have met the A's halfway. Because let's be honest, the A's won a bunch of championships before they won their first Super Bowl.
And for you A's fans, you need to go to the store. You need to go to the store this year. And get your A's gear, because I'll tell you, when they move to Vegas, they're going to change the color of that team.
I really hope they don't, but I understand, because in a sense, they're not going to want to try to identify with the past, which is probably why they're probably going to do the extra year, so it gives them enough time to come up with a whole new identity and what have you. I get it.
That's why I tell people, you better get your A's gear up because it's going to be gone.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it'll still be out. Because see, the crazy thing is, even with that alleged football team in D.C., you still see a lot of R word stuff out here.
Well, in Cleveland, this is how ridiculous it is. You cannot get Cleveland Indians dub outside of Cleveland. go to Greenman. Yeah. Go to Greenman. You can get it.
Unless you do it online. And there's a lot of stuff online. There's a lot of stuff online.
You cannot get anywhere else.
Online you can. Now, if you try to physically try to, like, if you try to go to, like, say, if you try to physically go get some stuff, no, you won't. But there's a lot of stuff online. There's a bunch of stuff online. There's a whole bunch of stuff online because, you know,
I work in that time because we had to get the alarm raise. And the candidate team to do it. No duties about our next target, no duties.
Well, it's, you know, I'm not, never say never, but the thing is, one's coming off of a championship and one may be on the verge of another.
I know.
So it's, you know,
we'll
see what happens. But yeah, just to piggyback on the whole, you know, yeah, there's no doubt that once they knew that they were going to be in Vegas and they were going to stay in Vegas, I think they just basically said, okay, Bay Area, you're Niner country. You're basically Niner country because
it really shocked me because I had to look forward to Raider games early in March.
Oh, sure.
And this year for the first time, like,
again, that's why, you know, between the Sunday ticket and Red Zone, or because see, that's the dynamic that's out there now that wasn't there even the first time they came back. You know, Sunday ticket was still around, but it wasn't as prominent. I mean, you know, now it's just, you know, those Sunday ticket commercials are just as annoying as the FanDuel and DraftKings commercials.
But when the Raiders were in Los Angeles, we got almost every game.
Well, because they were still in the same state. They basically have moved three states over now. They've moved. I mean, I know Nevada is close, but they're basically outside of that Cali, you know. If they were still in Cali, I don't think there'd be a change. But the fact that they are no longer in Cali, and see, the other factor is, again, because you've got basically two teams in L.A. So, again, I'm looking at it in the NFL's eyes. In a certain part of the state, the Chargers and the Rams are your team.
Right.
And other parts of the state, the Niners are your team. That's right.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Raiders are no longer in Cali, I think because they're saying, why are we pumping games in there and they're not in that area anymore? Make them buy. You see, you know what you're saying? Make them buy a Sunday damn ticket if they wanted that. If they want to see them that bad, you gonna have to pay for it.
Yeah.
They're gonna make you pay for it. It's, you know, I mean, end of the day, it's pretty much, you know, greedy bastard economics 101, basically.
Yeah.
They want, you know, their attitude is like, yeah, you can watch the Raiders, but you're gonna have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you're gonna have to pay for it. You can watch them. They don't have a problem with y'all watching them. You're just gonna have to pay. And,
all right, gentlemen. What you got for next week? What you got? Oh, thank you for the post of the new article.
No, thank you. Know, again, it's just, you know.
Nice job, G. Nice job on the article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, you know, look, I'm like Bugs Bunny dressing up the chickens for dinner. Where are they eating tonight,
That's all I do. It's real easy.
And then whenever you're doing
this could be the easiest thing to do. This is Jay the DD, you know.
They don't, nah, but see, unless they're, put it this way, the only chance that that happens is that if they expand again. But see, I think right now, even they realize 32 is enough.
Exactly.
32 is enough. You're trying to, you know.
You're talking about merging the XFL and
well, it's different with the XFL. See, it's different with those two leagues because they are, because basically what will probably happen is they'll probably keep the majority of the teams that play in an NFL city will stay. Now, there'll be a couple of exceptions. I'm guessing Birmingham will be an exception. I'm going to guess St. Louis may be an exception because because both cities drew well.
Nashville, right?
San Antonio.
But see, Nashville's got a team, technically. and even San Antonio, you know, they're, put it this way, could now what they could do is they could probably use San Antonio to try to see if they could push a third team, and if let's put it this way, a lot of it's going to depend on if Houston ever gets it and becomes prominent again, that could probably be the best thing that can happen to San Antonio, because then they could say, we could put a third team here. But right now, Houston's still now Stroud is playing his ass off early on, and I kind of felt like he was going to be the one of the big three that was going I was more worried about whether the defensive coach was going to play to his strengths or force him into a system. But it looks like clearly he has just said, here are the keys, do what you do, and it's shown. Although Richardson's doing some stuff in Indy as well, too.
What are they going to do in Arizona?
Well, I mean, see, I don't think they're telling us how bad Murray's knee is. And also, I think in their eyes, I think they're trying to see if Dobbs keeps playing well, and you know he's played well. You remember this?
And Liz, they're averaging 28 points home game.
And see,
basically,
even though he's been in the league 4 years, he's basically got a Cliff Stout thing going on. Yeah, he's been in the league 4 years, but this is really his first year.
Yep, that's right.
He's getting Desmond Ridder in Atlanta. They've been around, but this is the first major action that both of them have gotten. So they are literally playing for their supper. So just to piggyback on the whole Arizona thing, I'm guessing, knowing their organization, I'm sure that some pinhead is saying, you know, Dobbs is playing pretty well, and if he plays well, you know, we won't have to pay him as much as we pay Tyler. Trust me, and see, it's messed up because it's basically two brothers each other in a sense. Let's say Dobbs has black on black crime. And see, they have no problem doing that. Now Murray probably would resurface somewhere, but if they could put it this way, if they can do it on the cheap, because even though the Bidwells are dead, the stench is still there. So,
and they're still cheap.
Yeah. I'm happy for Dobbs unfortunately, and see, this is that other side of the field, Generals, because see, now that there's more of them out there, now they're gonna mess with them, because see, now Deshaun Watson didn't play last week, but his backup, the kid from UCLA, another brother, and you know, he played fairly well. Now, people, you know, even through the first 2 weeks, people are like, oh, he's been a bust and all this stuff. The guy hadn't played in a year. But, you know, of course, you know, that goes back to what Mike has always said, where you have to be super nigga. And if you're not, you know, if you're not super nigga, then they want to get rid of you. But see, that's the whole prevailing thing. And see, the other thing also is more than likely Williams is going to be out there next year. And although he keeps poo-pooing it, it's a small possibility that Shador could declare next year.
I think he'll stay.
As a matter of fact, I think knowing Deion, how we know, I'm sure Deion is like, you know, stay your ass here in Colorado for another year before you even think about, you know, whatever. But I'm just simply, look, as much as they, you know, as much as they keep trying to look the other way with the brothers in the league, they also know that there's more coming. There's more coming.
Hey, the guy from USC is going to be out too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's got possibilities to get a second Heisman. So he's going to come out. And the kid out in Washington State, Phoenix, he's coming out. And there's other brothers out there. I mean, they may not all be coming out next year, but look, this probably won't be the first time where three brothers go in the first four picks. It may not happen again. But this is not going to be the last time we see three brothers go in the first four picks.
Well, this week we got Dallas Cowboys with Dan Prescott against the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
We have Patrick Mahomes against the Vikings.
Is that a regional? That's a regional game though, right?
Which one?
The Chiefs, the Chiefs Vikings.
Yeah, CBS.
Okay, so that's a regional game.
We got Wilson against the Jets, right?
Regional.
We got the rookie Arizona against the Bengals. We got
regional.
The Eagles against the Rams.
Regional.
Baltimore, Jackson against Pittsburgh.
I'm surprised that that's not a national game. Although it might be your lead doubleheader game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be
You're right. You got the foreign games on top of that. That's throwing a monkey wrench and all that.
Mm-hmm. And the last one is Indianapolis against Tennessee. The thing is,
you've already had one. Well, put it this way. Already this week, there's going to be at least two field generals on national TV. You have Fields win the other night on Thursday, and you're going to have Dak and the boys tomorrow night on NBC. Now, who's playing Monday night?
Green Bay against Las Vegas.
Jordan Love. So three brothers. Yeah. So all three national games this week have a field general play.
Yeah.
But see, you know, now, I'm the wicked see. Even though I'm doing the field general, I'm knee deep into the baseball playoffs right now. I'll peek in, but if I got a choice, I'm watching baseball. I'm basically watching baseball till the World Series ends.
Me and six guys from
Schenectady, I believe. That's the difference. Like when we first started doing the field generals, you know, you would get maybe one head-to-head matchup, maybe one national televised game. But see, what's happening now is pretty much every week. You're getting multiple head-to-head matchups, but also damn near all the nationally televised games have a brother play. Yeah. Now this week is a perfect example where all three primetime games have a brother start. Yeah, Fields got his first win Thursday night. Dak will do something
he'll do something. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice. But and then we'll see. And then we'll see what love does. You know, actually, love is done. You know, for the most
hey,
part.
Love, hey, guys. Love is exactly. Remember Aaron Rodgers. When Aaron Rodgers first came on, he was doing to it the very same time.
And he doesn't have the same kind of weapons that Rodgers
right.
has. Now,
you know what Tony said there is important. He does not have the same weapons. And you got to remember, it was not long ago, Brett Favre pretty much told Aaron Rodgers, kiss his ass. He was going to teach him how to play.
Exactly.
And it was an edict where the old quarterback is supposed to show the young guy some things, and the old head said, hell no, I'm not doing that. Now, Jordan Love doesn't get that kind of relaxation in the situation. He's got to go in there knowing he's got to play. And in one quarter, he shut everybody up. They were ready to really trash him. In one quarter against the Saints, he proved that the field generals are freedom.
Oh, yeah. This is the one thing to me, the only guy that's really struggling, and I'm not surprised, is and he has even less weapons than Love, and that's Young. You know, now, last week, even though they lost again, you know, you've seen signs. I mean, right now, the best two, I mean, it's basically a battle between Richardson and Stroud for the best. I think Stroud has put up the best numbers.
I like Richardson because his movement. I like the way he quarterbacks.
I mean, in a sense, Richardson and Stroud are the same. Richardson is probably a little bit bigger physically, but their arm strength is very similar. They both can move outside of the pocket, although Richardson, and it's a surprise because you would figure the smaller guy would be more mobile, but it seems like Richardson is a little bit more mobile, but he's a freaking horse. He's almost like a poor man's Cam Newton.
He is a poor man's Cam Newton. He's making poor man's Cam Newton money. But you're right. He is like him. He's a big kid, and he moves like one. But he and Stroud have field presence, and Stroud especially seems to have that innate ability to find his people. And that's something we didn't see in anybody except for Russell Wilson way back when he was a rookie.
And the sad thing is, if Denver had a human defense, they would probably be at least 2-2 right now.
Hey, guys? I go back to coach. Here we go with coaching again.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a decent coach, the Denver Broncos will be at least 3-1. If you had a decent coach, Dallas Cowboys would be undefeated. And then this guy that the media won't tell you that.
Yeah. Well, see, the fact that, you know, the crazy thing with the boys in Arlington, I think it's obvious McCarthy is singing for his supper because he took over.
Yep.
He just basically said, I'm an offensive coordinator. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out on my own. Now, see,
all right, guys, what you got, Michael, for Sunday night?
Well, I first want to say happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners and family and friends. I also want to say happy birthday to my grandson, Miles, Jefecito, wherever you are.
Have they stopped cussing in Toronto yet?
But as far as Canada is concerned, we have to apologize because we're going to destroy Canada tomorrow. Two movies, that exploit the fact that Canadian cities were destroyed in sci-fi, the lost missile, where Ottawa gets blown up, and Scene Without a Face, a 1958 classic that was shot around Winnipeg, Manitoba. So that's our double feature for Thanksgiving Canadian style. Hopefully you all will take some time and take a peek. You'll like what you see. And I also, this is for Tony. I want to recognize Brooks Robinson and the beauty in which he played Third Base. You know, he played third base like I wanted to play center field. And center field was represented by this line of poetry from, of all people, Ralph Kiner. The earth is covered two-thirds by water and one-third by Gary Maddox.
Gary Maddox, absolutely.
Line was exquisite. Gary Maddox played center field the way everybody would love to play. He dared you to hit that other day. And if he did, good for you. You got at least a double out of the
field. We all remember who his mentor was, though, right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We know for a fact. And that defense, that beautiful defense, we saw in other guys who went out and make those catches and stuff, but Maddox made it look so easy because he would just tease people and eat ground up with his speed and his ability to catch the ball. So I was watching the Astros and the Twins get on right during the ALDS and stuff. I was about to watch the Colorado game, but I had to get some bouquets out to Robinson because he played one beautiful third base. God bless
With all due respect to, like Nettles and Dell and Arenado and Roland and all that, but Boyer. I mean, Brooks Robinson, just on a field. I mean, that was just
that man.
That was just something else, man. He just took it to a whole, whole different level. And the thing about it is, it was the consistency. Now, he was a bit of a Punch and Judy hitter early in his career, but he became a hell of a hitter. He was probably a better hitter later in his career than he was early in his career.
He was
especially more power wise. I would say to anyone, you want to get an idea of what Brooks Robinson is, and I'm sure all the games are, you can get them on YouTube. The 1970 World Series. I'm sure whether through the highlight film, or maybe one or two of the games, full games, are there. And that will give you an idea of just how world. And remember, he was a baby. He came up either the first or second year that they were in Baltimore. You got to remember, this guy was just as popular as Johnny Unitas.
I remember going down to Baltimore for the World Series.
What people forget is, remember, they had already won a World Series. When they got to 60, people forget. Yes, 69 was a disappointment to them, but remember, they shut the Dodgers in 66. Hello?
Yep.
Right, yeah. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, guys, take care.
I hope we have a good playoff, good baseball playoffs, and good. I'll be having a good World Series this year.
All right. So far, you know, so far it's been, you know, it's been decent so far. I was, you know, the Baltimore game I know was a one run game when I before I got on, and you got to figure, you know, look, Minnesota's just happy that they've advanced. Minnesota's happy that they won, that they killed that streak and they were able to advance. So they're already playing with house money to a certain extent.
I just hope it doesn't get to be Texas Houston American. I don't want to see that.
Well, we'll see. The Orioles will have a lot to say. We'll have a lot to say here. I actually picked Baltimore. When I did my thing, I had Baltimore and Atlanta in the World Series. I mean, it's pretty much Atlanta.
Houston.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the Dodgers are going to be able to do it without pitching this time. That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, unless the Braves have already peaked, it's theirs to lose. I mean, they literally have kicked ass and take names this year. And the only thing that can hurt them is if they have peaked too soon. But see, they still mad from the Phillies having them. All four of these series are going to be good to watch. They're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Take care, man.
Take care
now.
Bye.
Down to the final eight in Las Vegas. But at that point, one, any car I was below with a championship, one is the Qatar Grand Prix. Max Verstappen won his third championship in the sprint motorsport. He won in the sprint race. He won his third championship for Formula One. So congratulations to Max Verstappen for your victory. Tomorrow we can take it easy and ride for fun. As we get to the Qatar Grand Prix tomorrow morning at 6:30 p.m. We got football at 6:30 p.m. So enjoy Sunday sports. Have a good night and a good week. We got to salute the birds before we get out of here.